Chapter 13. An Auditory World, Music and Blindness. When I was growing up in London in the 1930s, I especially enjoyed the visits of Enrico, the piano tuner, who would come every few months to tune our pianos. We had an upright and a grand, and since everyone in the family played, they were always getting out of tune. Once, when Enrico was ill, a substitute tuner came, a tuner who, to my amazement, got around without a white stick and could apparently see normally. Up to that point, I had assumed that, like Enrico, all piano tuners were blind. I thought of this years later in regard to my friend Jerome Bruner, for in addition to his many other gifts, he is immensely sensitive to music and possesses extraordinary powers of musical memory and imagery. When I asked him about these, he said that he did not come from a musical family, but that he was born with congenital cataracts, not operated on until he was 2. He was functionally blind in his first 2 years, seeing only light and shadow, and some movement before his cataracts were removed, and this, he thought, forced him to focus on sounds of all sorts, especially voices and music. This special sensitivity to the auditory has stayed with him all his life. It was similar with Martin, my musical savant patient, who wore thick pebble glasses like Jerry Bruner. Martin had been born with very severe farsightedness, more than 20 diopters, which was not diagnosed and corrected until he was almost 3. He, too, must have been functionally blind as an infant before he had glasses. Did this play a part in making him a musical savant? The image of the blind musician or the blind poet has an almost mythic resonance, as if the gods have given the gifts of music or poetry in compensation for the sense they have taken away. Blind musicians and bards have played a special role in many cultures, as wandering minstrels, court performers, religious cantors. For centuries, there was a tradition of blind church organists in Europe. There are many blind musicians, especially, though not exclusively, in the world of gospel, blues, and jazz. Stevie Wonder, Ray Charles, Art Tatum, Jose Feliciano, Rassan Roland Kirk, and Doc Watson are only a few. Many such artists, indeed, have blind added to their names, almost as an honorific. Blind Lemon Jefferson, the Blind Boys of Alabama, Blind Willie McTell, Blind Willie Johnson. The channeling of blind people into musical performance is partly a social phenomenon, since the blind were perceived as being cut off from many other occupations. But social forces here are matched by strong internal forces. Blind children are often precociously verbal and develop unusual verbal memories. Many of them are similarly drawn to music and motivated to make it central to their lives. Children who lack a visual world will naturally discover or create a rich world of touch and sound. At least there are many anecdotes to suggest this, but Adam Ockleford has moved beyond these casual observations to systematic studies in the last 20 years or so. Ockleford has worked as a music teacher at a school for the blind and is now Director of Education at the Royal National Institute of the Blind in London. He has been especially concerned with a rare congenital condition, septo-optic dysplasia, which leads to visual impairment, sometimes relatively mild but often profound. Working with Linda Pring, Graham Welsh and Daryl Trefford, he compared 32 families of children with this condition to an equal number of control families. Half of the children with SOD had no vision or could perceive only light or movement. They were ranked as blind. The other half were partially sighted. Ockleford et al. Noted that there was far more interest in music among the blind and the partially sighted than among the fully sighted. One mother, speaking of her 7-year-old blind daughter, said, "Her music is always with her. If there is not music playing, she is singing. She listens to music while in the car, while falling asleep, and loves to play the piano and any other instrument."